Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kickin' It with KPOC, a podcast about business owners' marketing struggles and solutions and other business-related topics. This is episode 2, It's Hard to Say Goodbye. And no, we aren't ending our podcast already. This is a different sort of goodbye. But without further ado, I'll turn it over to Mirella to explain what we'll be talking about today.
Today, we are going to be talking about difficulties for small businesses to hire their first employee and why that is scary and sometimes a very challenging process for small companies. And to kind of go further into detail on that topic, we have Jessica, who is one of our very first employees here at KPOC Marketing. She is one of our marketing assistants, and actually today is also her last day. So she's going to be sharing her story with us in terms of what it feels like to be a new employee at a small company and one of the very first employees, and also what it takes to, or what her secret sauce is for building up a social media following for businesses.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds like it's going to make for an interesting episode, Mirella.
I hope so. It's all in Jessica. So we'll see what happens. No, I'm kidding. It's actually on us too. So don't worry, Jessica. I think it will be good.
All right. No pressure.
Man, I feel the most pressure. I'm actually very nervous. So.
Well, why do you guys think it's hard for a small or a new business to hire that first employee, or what got us to the point where we knew it was time to hire that first person? Were you worried at all?
For us as a company, yeah, I think we were worried. Number one, we were a new business, a small business, and we didn't really know where things were going to go. We were kind of at a point where we could, you know, take off and become something or totally crash and burn and actually ruin someone's life. So when you're bringing on a new employee, you're kind of presenting them with the opportunity to, you know, to join a team and do exciting things, but you are also kind of uprooting them from their current situation. And if things don't work out, then you can maybe a little bit ruin their life, which is kind of a lot to put on your plate and be responsible for. And also, we kind of felt a little bit insecure about, you know, how beautiful our office is, how big our team is, and, you know, if the new employee is going to like us, if he or she is going to think that we're kind of a couple of losers who are sitting in this not so fancy office. So those two things were the biggest fears for myself. But then we have some clients who have also said that they're afraid that the person is not going to do as good of a job as the owner would, or that they can't trust the person if it's a small business that has really high value items at the store and the owner hires someone and needs to, you know, go away on vacation, then he or she's afraid to leave all those valuables with the employee, which, you know, in some cases, I guess that's a valuable fear or, you know, a justified fear. But in most cases, I think that, you know, you're just kind of inside of your head and overthinking it. For Jessica, what do you think was your biggest fear in terms of working for a small company like us?
I think my biggest fear was just I knew that you guys were taking a leap of faith as, you know, hiring your first employees. But my biggest fear is, am I going to live up to their standards? I know it kind of works both ways. You guys are expecting so much from me and you're wondering if, you know, I'm going to be satisfied working here. But then the tables are turned and I'm thinking, oh no, do I have the skill set to help them and to take this small business from, you know, their ideas and then put them into place? So I think it's just, it goes both ways, really, trusting each other.
You're right. I never really thought about it that way. You know, just as there is so much pressure on us to deliver, you know, a beautiful office, you know, an interesting, you know, job description and all the things that you do as an employee, I guess there's a lot of pressure for you where you're thinking, oh my God, like this is make it or break it. Like if I don't do my job, this company could kind of go down and it's going to be my fault.
Right.
I never actually thought about that, even though I have been an employee mm-hmm. at a small company before and like one of the first employees. I guess I forgot about that. But I guess I did have those fears too.
Yeah. You kind of, you lose sight of my own skill set that I have. And I'm wondering, you know, am I going to live up to their standards? Am I going to help them go from point A to point B. So it's just, it's kind of exciting and scary all in the same sense, because we're all kind of like learning at the same time as the business is starting out and as it's growing.
I think to touch back on something that you were saying earlier, Marella, it's kind of an inflection point for most small businesses when they hire that first employee, and maybe they don't even realize it until they're looking back in retrospect. And that first employee can be the person who really bring the business to the next level.
That's true. What is the thing that Malcolm Gladwell talks about, the tipping point? Maybe I don't know if I can call it a tipping point, but when we started KPOC about a year ago, yeah, I mean, technically we were a real business, but we felt very fake to me because we didn't have any employees. And until the first people that came on board actually joined us, it felt very, very lonely. And then once, you know, you came on board and, you know, Cassie came on board, it's like, oh my gosh, we're real. Like, we have to do our job. Like, people have expectations of us. So it was, it definitely made everything real.
I think that's a really great point. You know, when Marella and I were here alone, it's easier to just, you know, get sidetracked and stuff. No one is really relying on you, or no one's holding you accountable necessarily. Having those employees there means that it's real. And, you know, you've got other people whose livelihood is on the line as well.
That's true. I can't just come in here and sleep on my money couch all day or like, I mean, yeah, I can take a nap. But like before, when it was just Jake and myself, you know, I sometimes would feel like, well, I can just take a nap. But now, I mean, I still take a nap sometimes, but I don't take as many naps because it's not a good look anymore. So.
Now you host the podcast on the money couch.
Oh, yeah. We are sitting on the money couch. So hopefully this thing is going to be successful. Otherwise, we might have a bonfire outside with the money couch. So we shall see.
One other thing you mentioned, Marella, you touched on that you also were an employee at a small business. What do you think the difference is between owning a small business and hiring that first employee and being one of the first employees?
So what is the difference between being an employee at a small business and then being the owner of a small business?
Or how would you, you know, compare or contrast those things? Or is there any similarities? Is there anything that you've learned being in both of those roles?
That's a good question. And I'm not just saying that to kind of fill up the space.
That's what I'm here for, to ask the good questions.
I think when I was an employee of a small business many, many years ago during dinosaur times, I just always knew that I could walk away, you know, if it doesn't. And maybe I wasn't a good employee for that small business. I have no idea. I was a freshman in college at USF and I was working part time, and I was working with an older gentleman and his grandson, and it was a very small operation. And I mean, it was scary, but I just knew that I could walk away. Here, now that I'm on the other side, I mean, technically as one of the owners of KPOC Marketing, yes, I can walk away, but there's much more at stake, because not only monetarily, but because KPOC is kind of part of my name and my identity now. So, and I live in this area. So it would be a larger sense of failure and some type of maybe a little bit of like tarnishing of my image. So I feel like I need to take it more seriously. And hopefully I am.
You mentioned that KPOC is kind of your name. Do you think that's something that other small business owners might struggle with when hiring their first employees, that employee needs to kind of also represent that company or that brand to the public?
Yes, that's definitely real. Recently, when we were interviewing for a business development position, I definitely caught myself thinking, oh man, is this person going to be able to communicate the brand image and the brand message and the personality as well as I would? Are people going to be able to connect that person's image and reputation in the community with KPOC? Is everything going to be seamless? You know, in marketing, you want your whole message to be uniform. I think that's a very real fear to have.
Do you have any questions that we might want to ask Jessica about her experience as being one of our first employees?
You kind of touched on, you know, what the fear was of like not letting us down. Did you have any other fears or any other reservations or anything like that? And you can fill in the blank, Jake, all the things I'm not covering.
Nope, that's a good question.
I don't think I had any reservations. I think that, I know you were mentioning as the business development person, as mm-hmm. the face of the company, But I think as for myself as marketing assistant, yeah. you know, I'm sending stuff out there on social media or email marketing or, you know, even writing blog content. I still have to take, you know, the company's brand, you know, mission and voice into account too. So I think that's definitely a fear I had when I first started out. You know, am I gonna come across the way that, you know, Jake and Morello want me to come across for the content for K-pop marketing? So it's definitely a real fear starting out, wondering if I'm gonna be able to deliver, and then if I'm gonna be a good, you know, be another extension of K-pop marketing, even though I'm kind of behind the scenes as marketing assistant. You know, it's still my content that's going out there. So I think that's definitely a big fear that I had, making sure that, you know, I was staying on track with everything.
So what were the kinds of things that you did to make sure that you, you know, you understood the brand and the messaging? Or what would you recommend to an employee starting out at a new company in terms of how to make sure that they get that right and they, you know, do a good job at the beginning?
I would definitely recommend just, you know, doing your research, just making sure you know, what's already out there for the company. You know, if they're just starting out, they might not have a lot of blog posts or they might not have a huge social media presence. But just talking with your employers and, you know, getting a feel for the brand and the company, you know, you'll learn what they want to be sent out there. And then, you know, you can in return put that information out there yourself just by, you know, doing research and asking questions. I know a lot of new employees are very scared to ask questions, especially in, you know, for a new small business, you know, everybody's kind of figuring stuff out. But it's okay to ask questions. You know, there's no such thing as a dumb question.
That's true.
You know, before we had Jessica, Morello was doing most of our Instagram account. And when we hired Jessica, she kind of took over on Instagram. Maybe the two of you could talk a little bit about how, you know, our Instagram account evolved during that stage.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I was, you know, when we started out, obviously I have, you know, a marketing background and, you know, business management background. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go hard. I'm going to do all of the social media myself. And when I say all of it, I mean Facebook, Google Plus, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, and also do our blog posts. And you know, I thought I was doing it, you know, really well. And then I realized that I was doing a terrible job. And not because I don't have any skills, it's because I was also doing other things. I was helping co-run the company. And so, as they say, I was kind of half-assing it and not intentionally. When we decided to go for it and hire someone, we, on Instagram, for example, we had, I think, like 100 followers. And you know, it took me a few months to get to that point because, well, I was just working hard. I wasn't working smart. And then we, you know, we hired Jessica and another person, and they were responsible for doing social media, and things just took off. And at that point, I kind of had a realization and thought to myself, why didn't we do this sooner? Yes, it's scary bringing on people. And just to kind of go to the back to the previous topic, yes, it's scary. There's a lot of uncertainty, but I think that we have learned that you just have to go for it, do it and see what happens. And you're never going to know unless you try it. So when we brought on Jessica, you kind of just went hard and like things started taking off. People were following us. People were actually talking to us on Instagram. People were coming in, you know, later on to do job interviews, and they would mention our Instagram accounts. There is absolutely no way that would have happened had I continued to do it. And even I think some people are tempted to bring on someone like yourself, Jessica, and have them, you know, be responsible, quote unquote, for their social media. But the owner is constantly like micromanaging. I think that's also terrible. So we kind of try to be very hands off, let you just do your thing, which I think brings me to the next question or the section where we kind of talk about your secret sauce for social media. Or I don't know, should we call it hot sauce? Because Jessica likes hot sauce a lot. So we won't call it secret sauce. We will call it Jessica's hot sauce for setting social media stuff on fire and like making it like take off. So just tell us a little bit, you know, and you can just pick one platform. You can pick your favorite. I'm guessing it's Instagram. So you can tell us, you know, how you made it happen.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely guessed correctly. Instagram is hands down my favorite platform. I think one of the main things, and you know, you briefly touched over it, is just not having enough time to do it. You know, as a business owner, you're doing so many other things. You know, you want to do good on Instagram, you want to do good on social media, but you just don't have the time. And so I guess kind of, you know, what set our Instagram on fire is we just had a lot of time to put into it. Mm. And, you know, I had time to create good content for it, making sure that, you know, my captions were on point. They were, you know, geared to our target audience, that mm-hmm. I was going in, you know, going through different hashtags and finding accounts to just engage with, I think mm-hmm. is a big thing. And it takes tons of time to do, mm-hmm. but just kind of being very genuine on Instagram, I think, is a good way that we grew our following. You know, a lot of people know K-pop for our Instagram, but it's because we're very true to who we are as people and who you guys are as business owners, mm-hmm. and very just community centered. And people know and love that. Mm-hmm. So by putting in the work, you know, it does take time. You know, great things take time, but just by going in every day and liking and commenting to people, just actually talking to them and not just, you know, scheduling posts and making sure they're going out every day. But just actually being the voice behind the Instagram account, I think made all the difference.
I think so too. And I'm talking like I actually did it. I think that what a lot of people experience is the quiet of starting out and not being popular and feeling like, oh man, like I'm really posting like my best stuff and people are following me and then they unfollow me. No one is saying anything. I post something, I ask a question, and then no one answers my question. Did you ever have moments like that? And if you did, how do you overcome those moments?
Yeah, I mean, I think like with any social media account, when you started, obviously your follower counts are low. You're not getting any likes on your posts. So it's just kind of intimidating. You know, it definitely felt better once we hit the 1,000 mark on followers. Mm. We kind of felt like we made it a little bit on Instagram. But just, you know, keep working at it every day, you know. If our goal was to get more followers, you know, are we posting the right content that people actually want to follow and see every day? You know, if we want more people to talk to us, are we talking to anybody? It kind of goes both ways.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, if we ask a question and nobody responds, then it's probably because they don't want to talk to us. Is it because we're not talking to them or, you know, are we just liking their posts? But by actually caring and commenting on their posts and leaving many meaningful comments definitely helps.
How about those accounts that are just like going out there and posting the thumbs up emoji on all of the posts?
We definitely get a lot of those. I believe they're referred to as bot comments. People just go on and leave hundreds and hundreds of comments, probably to the point where Instagram flags them for a few hours where they can't do any more. But just leaving, you know, leave a full sentence, go crazy. You know, if somebody posts, you know, their lunch at a local coffee shop, comment on it, say, you know, I've had that before. No, I've never had that, but I'm going to try it. Thanks for the recommendation. You know, just building an actual relationship with your followers makes all the difference. If you're leaving a thumbs up or a cool or a nice shot, then
great post, thumbs great, up.
Yeah. Then, you know, that person knows like, okay, you didn't actually look at my post, because if you look at the post, their caption could be something really bad. And there you are posting positive comment.
That's true.
And they can tell that. And, you know, so many accounts do that, or they do the, like you mentioned, Marella, the follow and then unfollow.
Yes.
You know,
the heartbreakers of Instagram.
Right. And they usually
build you up and then they let you down.
Right. And they usually do it a couple of times. So yes, you know, yes, like, okay, this person has followed me 4 times. And if I'm not following you back now, then you should know it's because you keep on following me. So, you know, people know if you try to do those shady things.
That's true. How important is it to respect the rules and the guidelines for each platforms and posting appropriate content and having a good mix of promotional and actually interesting, engaging content? You come across some accounts who are constantly, you know, buy my waist slimming thing, buy my miracle walking shoes or whatever the case is. And that's like every single post. And then you have some people who post images that just don't look good on Instagram. So what is your take on that?
I definitely think as a business, whether you're offering products or services, it kind of goes the same way. you know, majority of the time you want to post engaging content mm-hmm. that your followers want to see. But then you also have to remember, you still have to sell to them.
Yes.
You know, they are the bread and butter of your business. But if you're constantly selling to them, they're just going to unfollow you. It's just the harsh reality. They're going to unfollow you. They're going to remember in the back of their head, this business sells to me all the time. I don't want to see their content anywhere. And I think that's it. I mean, it's not just Instagram. All social media platforms are just becoming saturated with people constantly selling to them and then ads and everything. You just have to be genuine and you have to want to build relationship with your followers and actually give them value. And then in return, they'll come, you know, they'll remember your business as the, you know, the go-to or the expert. And then at the end of the day, they'll buy from you.
Yeah. We always tell other clients and other businesses to kind of follow the 80-20 rule. 80% interesting content and engaging things that you think that your audience wants to see or read, and 20% promotional. Obviously, you know, you are a business and it is a given that, you know, you sell stuff. So people know that you sell. But I think social media, like you said, is, you know, about showing your personality, you know, engaging with your audience and kind of putting a human face onto, you know, a brand or product or service or whatever the case is. Sell thing is, yeah, it sounds, you know, kind of nice if you're just looking at numbers and you want to increase your sales. But in the long run, that's all you become is like a pushy salesperson and no one wants to talk to that person.
And I think this goes to one of our core philosophies of our marketing agency, is just put all the information out there of how a small business could do this if they want to do it. And then if they have the time and they can do it, that's great. If they decide that they don't want to do all that research and learn all that content that we're giving them for free, then they can hire us to help them do it. And that's really, you know, the value proposition that we offer. We don't have to be hard selling people on Instagram to get them as a client.
That's true. And I don't even know if selling on Instagram is fun. I personally don't like when people direct message me on mm-hmm. Instagram out of the blue, pretend that they love my smile or they think that their bathing suit will look great on me. I just think it's really weird. And I know that they're probably sending the same message to everyone else. So yeah. Sliding into people's DMs on Instagram as a business is probably a little bit on the creepy side. So I would do that in moderation. But I don't know. We haven't really had like bad experience with people sliding into our DMs. They're like,
yeah,
most of the stuff is, I think, nice. We have as a company, we've had people actually direct messages for like job opportunities.
Right.
Which was really shocking.
I mean, how many job applicants have come into an interview here and we ask them, oh, you know, how did you find out about KPOC marketing or what interested you in the position? And the response is, oh, well, I've been following your Instagram for, you know, 6 months. And it's yes. like, wow.
Mm-hmm. I know. And we're like, man, thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Andrea. Andrea is one of the other team members that we have here. And she will probably be in a future podcast. Now she doesn't even have the option to say no.
Jessica set the precedence. Now all of our future employees
now we're like
are
announcing ahead of time before we even ask people.
Okay, so just a couple more things on Instagram. I don't think that we mentioned that. What are we up to? About 1,600 followers now. So that's the kind of work that Jessica did. Morella closed it out at about around 100, and less than a year later, Jessica.
Pitiful 100.
But that's just to show, you know, what can be done if you let someone else run with it. Maybe we should ask Jessica a few other questions, not Instagram related, about just being, you know, at a marketing agency or a small business. Would you want to work at another small business?
Oh, yeah. Now that you're leaving us, then would you do this again? Or if you had to do it again, how would you do anything different?
And you can be totally honest. You won't hurt our feelings.
I know. Today's your last day, right? What do I have to lose?
Nothing.
Go hard. No, I mean, I think definitely working for like a small business and specifically a small marketing agency is, you know, everything's collaborative. So, you know, I personally like being creative and coming up with ideas, but I also like bouncing ideas off different people. I think that when you bounce ideas off other people, you're going to get something even greater in return. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of this job in my experience here is, you know, if somebody has an idea, we're all kind of putting our all into it. And then here we have this final finished product. And now we have a great idea that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have thought about prior. So I think, you know, as a small business, hiring more employees, you know, I'm not a small business owner, so I can't speak from that experience, but just having more people on your team to contribute ideas that, you know, they want to help your business grow in the end as well. You know, they work there too. They're not going to give you bad ideas to run you into the ground. They're not.
That would be pretty funny.
It's all been a joke. This isn't really even a company.
There needs to be a TV show where employees like conspire against the small business and run it into the ground.
I mean, who's to say that hasn't been done before? But, you know, for the most part, most people, you know, they want to be a part of something, you know.
That's true.
You know, myself as an employee just starting out in, you know, the field of marketing, I'm so happy to see when I have stuff that's been like published or posted on social media. It's just a good feeling. And, you know, I know it's a good feeling in return because, you know, we're growing our socials, we're growing our blog, and then, you know, in the end, we're growing the company. So
was there anything that you didn't expect when you, you know, after you got into this job and getting into a marketing agency, was there anything that shocked you or surprised you, or what were the things that, you know, were different than you expected or were exactly what you expected?
I would have to say the thing that shocked me the most is maybe how, you know, how open you guys were as employers for ideas or just anything in general. You know, all of my previous jobs, you know, I'm just the employee. I clock in, I do my work, I clock out. But, you know, here I'm, you know, excited to come to work. And, you know, I know we're going to be working on something new and exciting. I know there's always going to be something going on. So just kind of, you know, the unknown of, you know, what's going to happen. And I think starting out, I had no idea that I would be able to, you know, contribute as much as I have to K-pop. So it's just a good feeling to know that, you know, I'm not just being hired to, you know, just do slave work all day, that I get to contribute something of myself to the company.
That is true. And also that kind of, while I was listening to you talk, I realized that for us as, business owners, I kind of hate saying those words. It's like people who are in charge or whatever the case is, like a good sense of like positive accountability. You know, we have you and we have other people on the team and we cannot let you down. While at the same time, you are trying to do a good job to impress us. Believe it or not, we're really trying to do a good job to like impress you guys. So you guys don't think that we're like a loser bosses and we're like hot mess, don't know how to do anything.
That is true. One of the things that Morella says, maybe not the case in this particular instance, but Morella likes to tell employees that, you know, and if an employee is leaving, they're really firing their boss.
Yes, that's why I was so sad when you... when you told us that you were leaving, and I know that it's not negative, and I think that I have been convinced or assured that it's not our fault.
Yeah.
But sometimes it is. You know, it might not be the case in this instance, but yeah, a lot of bosses are maybe not doing the right things, and maybe their employees are saying, I've just had enough of this boss or this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Jake said, that when someone resigns or quits or whatever the word is, they're firing you as their boss, which is not a good feeling, because being fired is really kind of depressing and sad and disappointing. When you told us that you were, you know, ready to move on to your next chapter and move on from K-pop marketing, I a little bit felt fired, and it's not your fault, but it's just the way that I approach business and owning the business. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, what did we do? Did we fail her as, you know, as a company? Is there anything that we can do? And it's very funny how in the beginning it starts out, you know, new business, no employees, so afraid to hire. You hire someone, it becomes something bigger than the new business. Mm-hmm. It becomes like some type of like a group journey or like an adventure. And then, you know, in the middle of it or at the end of it, you look at it and you realize, wow, like we're all in this together. It's no more just, you know, Jake and myself, the two owners, like sitting here and like counting our money or whatever the case is.
Something for other small business owners to consider when you have an employee is it's a two-way street.
Yeah, and they will change your life.
For the better or for the worse. For the better.
I mean, that's but don't focus on the worst. Like, we've been fortunate to, you know, have hired more people over the past year, and no one has changed our life for the worst. Even, like, some people who don't work out in the long run, they are lessons. And it's, you know, maybe it's something that we didn't do the best. And maybe that's why that person didn't work out. Or maybe it just wasn't a good match. And but even a bad, quote unquote, experience is a good lesson. Business owners and, you know, other people who are in charge of hiring shouldn't focus so much on the negative or on, you know, oh, if this person's a terrible employee, how am I going to get rid of that person? And well, you know, if that happens, then you will have experience, you know, properly terminating someone.
So is there anything else that we would like to ask Jessica?
Well, you know, we do have our favorite question of all times. Is there anything that you think that we should have asked you, but we haven't?
Oh, the final interview question.
This is Jake's.
We're giving away a secret. No employees can listen to the podcast now, or future employees.
This is the hot sauce of interviews. When you are looking for a new employee, you ask him that question at the end.
I don't know. I mean, I think just, you know, overall, my experience has been a positive one here. And looking back and reflecting at the, you know, the almost year that I've worked here, you know, I think it's been kind of like a learning experience for everyone. And I think just, you know, just a huge like takeaway from this all is just be open. And I think that goes for, you know, anybody who is an employee who's, you know, maybe wanting to work at a, you know, a marketing agency or, you know, even just any small business. But even for small business owners, just being open about everything, I think, is just the main takeaway probably from our whole conversation.
I agree. Have an open mind.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to close out on here is that, you know, small business owners really, you know, think about hiring that first employee. But realize that while there might be some fears or some reservations, that it can really be what brings your company to the next level. So don't be so afraid of hiring that first employee or one of your first employees, because it can be a great thing. And I think that's what we saw here with Jessica.
Yes. And one last thing, when you do hire that first employee, you should trust the person, let them do their job, and let them, you know, use their secret sauce that they have, and they can definitely change your life and your business. And then one last thing, I don't know if this is appropriate for a podcast, but I want to say thank you to Jessica for being our kind of A1 since day one, and like going on this crazy ride with us. And we're going to miss you a lot. We've learned a lot from you, and hopefully we're going to see you go on to do great things. And maybe secretly deep inside of me, I hope that Jessica comes back and she maybe applies for her job again.
Or even if she just wants to come back to make a guest appearance on the podcast.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And hopefully we will be doing so much better in the future when Jessica comes back. That's really all I want to say is, like you said, Jessica, have an open mind. And also, I want to thank you.
And I would like to reiterate that as well. You know, thank you for everything you've done, and thank you for being our first guest on the podcast.
Well, I definitely feel honored for being first guest. I will also be back, so I'll take you up on that invitation. But also, you know, thank you to you guys. You guys took that leap of faith and hired me last year. You know, I think it's been a good journey, and I'm excited to, you know, even though I'll be watching from the sidelines now, to see where K-pop marketing goes from here.
We're nervous. Hopefully we do a good job. But I think we will. We have an amazing group of people who are staying behind. So I think we are going to do a great job, or they are going to do a great job. But yeah, definitely, if you're ever back in town, come on down and we'll do another podcast.
Well, it's been a great second episode. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickingitwithkpok.com, or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPOC Marketing. This has been Kicking It with KPOC, brought to you by KPOC Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.